Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, I'm Molly Wood.
And I'm Tom Merritt.
Welcome to It's a Thing, the weekly podcast supported by you, where we are a community of passionate individuals sharing knowledge and working together to develop the thing industry. Thanks for joining us.
Yes, that is our presentation in the keynote we're giving here at the Consumer Electronics Show.
It is, in fact, and this is on the nose, the about statement of CTA.tech, because Tom and I are together in real life at CES on the show floor in Tom's super cool booth where I'm just a squatter. Yeah. And sandwich eater.
Come on in.
Hanging out, recording. It's a thing. We did Daily Tech News Show, if you haven't heard that.
Right before this, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was me, Molly, Sarah, Roger, the whole gang. And that's the CTA mission statement?
Evidently. It's really a short and sweet.
Technomensch is in our chat because we're actually live streaming this on the DTNS YouTube and Twitch channels as well. So you can go catch that later on demand. Technomensch nailed it. He's like, CTA mission statement. And I can guarantee I saw him say that before we revealed what it was.
So, dang. Yeah. Well, he's good at pattern recognition too. He's like, I bet. And to answer the question, the last time I went to CES was actually 2020. I mean, it wasn't.
Yeah.
It was almost like the last one. Did they have it last year?
They did. It was in person last year.
Right.
A lot of people didn't go, but it happened. Mm-hmm. And then 2 years ago, they had it in person and everyone pulled out.
Right.
And then they didn't have it in
and
person.
And then they didn't. Right. Yeah. I remember that. And they stalled and dithered until the last second. It was like, just cancel it.
So it's only been back in person for a year then. And so I've only missed one in recent times that had people at it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is, in fact, although they are not consecutive, my 22nd?
I was thinking, yeah, I think I've been to 20 of them. But again, not non-consecutive because I missed some in the early days of DTNS. I just covered it remotely. I didn't go. And then, obviously, I missed last year. And we all missed a couple of years in there, too. So
yes.
Yeah. Well, one thing you see a lot of in Las Vegas is whiskey, Molly.
Yes, you do.
Especially at those press events. I have been keeping my eye out for Rompur, which was recently awarded the best world whiskey in the John Barleycorn Awards. I make no claim to know whether the John Barleycorn Awards are as prestigious as their press release claims they are. Maybe they are. I have no idea. But these kinds of awards, while they may or may not tell you the best whiskey, they generally go to whiskeys that you're familiar with, that have got a big reputation, right? That you're like, oh, yes, that's the Hibiki or Johnny Walker or something like that. Rampur is an Indian single malt whiskey. And Indian whiskey is kind of becoming a thing.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that whiskey came out of India at all. I mean, I guess I don't know why it wouldn't necessarily, but I just think of it so specifically as, I guess, a sort of southern U.S. thing.
Yeah. Well, and this is single malt, so you could also compare this to Scotland, to Scotch whiskey. Right.
True.
But if it's not coming from bourbon country, it's coming from Scotland, you know, and then there's Irish whiskey and there's other whiskeys out there.
Totally.
But, you know, Jack Daniels.
India.
But India would probably, and Japanese whiskey, et cetera.
Totally.
But you would probably not have thought of India until recently. And the Indian whiskey community has been around for a long time, mostly as it's a lot more expensive to get whiskey imported, so let's make some here. But it's getting good. It's getting recognized as being like a preferable option at the market in India versus, you know, like, oh, we had to drink the domestic stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
Like there is Greek wine, but you don't want to drink it. But this is not like that.
Right.
Although apparently Greek wine has also gotten good. Don't come for me. Oh, my God.
It's funny. Like, I don't know if you've ever run across this, but in really old, like, movies or radio shows, you will hear them talk about, oh, I guess we have to settle for the California wine.
Right.
You know, India's having its moment. It's California wine moment where it's like, oh, it's actually really good.
I love that. I mean, I feel like you could have a lot of fun making your identity being like, I'm an Indian whiskey person. Like, I know you're into Japanese whiskey. That's adorable. It's too smoky for me.
Do you like a Rampur Asava? Oh, you've not heard of it? Oh, it's an Indian single malt.
I'm about that sipping lifestyle. Indian whiskey. Love that one. That's a really good one. Well, I'm just, this is the part of the show where I embarrass Tom and possibly myself and everyone else a little bit. Evidently, my Instagram feed has decided that I am at a stage in my life where I need to be reading more smut. And recently delivered a video to me where this woman was talking about how she'd read like 7 reverse harem books.
Okay. I'm going to guess.
Yeah.
It's when it's a woman with a bunch of guys.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's, you know, pretty straightforward
yeah.
as a concept, but apparently it's also a thing. So I was like, sure, I'm in. I'll download some.
Did you try?
Smutty. Yeah. I read a whole series of like 4 books, like smutty.
Oh, it's like harem. That. You can read them fast.
Yeah. You don't have to.
Right.
You're kind of skipping ahead for various.
This isn't Fourth Wing.
And stuff. Yeah, it's not. No, exactly. You're not working your way through this.
Gotcha.
But so I was, and I found some on Kindle Unlimited, you know, I mean, that's like delightful, free download, blah, blah, blah. So I'm just living there in my secret little smutty universe. And then I see another Instagram post mention reverse harem, which is also sometimes referred to as hashtag why choose. Because the idea is that these,
why not
these
both
female
or
protagonists
more than both.
Don't have to choose. And why would they?
Saray suggested it should be called a harem.
Oh, hey, good one. Well, so then when I saw the second Instagram post that referred to reverse harem.
And not an ad, post.
Not an ad,
right?
Like a post. I was like, well, is it possible that this is a thing and not just my hilarious smutty indulgence? It's a thing.
It's totally a thing.
There was a write-up on Book Riot about it that goes all the way through, like, you've probably heard it. This is from April 2023. You've probably heard about these books. We'll cover all you need to know, including the controversies, because of course the name is considered maybe a little problematic and they're trying to they're trying to get Why Choose to be a little more popular, but it's not really taking off. People just really like saying it. And then it's like, evidently there's a whole lot of discussion about, well, is it polyandry or polyamory or this or that? Is it a mixed harem? But evidently the book world may be separate from the literary world. I don't want to, you know, talk it down since I'm devouring these things like crappy candy. But the book world has settled on reverse harem.
Okay.
That's what we're doing. And they're a thing.
Yeah. And I like that Book Riot points out polyamory is the technical term for a reverse harem relationship. Polyandry is a woman married to multiple men. And polyfidelity is when sex is restricted to within the group. Not a free for all. Cheating exists. It's just there's a group.
They're like committed. Well, and what's funny about these books too is that they are. I think there was some discussion about is polyamory actually it, because it's really like the men don't have other partners in these books. They're just obsessed and in love with this woman.
Okay.
So it's literally they're there for her.
That feels like polyfidelity.
And then she's like, it's more like polyfidelity.
Yeah.
And then she's like, I don't have to choose. Ha ha.
Right.
I'm living the dream. And they're super romantic, of course, right?
Yeah,
they're super smutty,
right?
But they're in the genre of like, it's wish fulfillment galore, for women in all the ways that you could possibly imagine. So there you go. So that's what's happening in the smutty set.
I think this is really interesting. I had not heard of it.
You know where
before.
It came from too? Manga and anime.
Oh, that makes sense.
It's been
that
big
makes
there
sense.
For a while, and now it's made its way into like quick turn kind of romance novels.
I think there's a meta thing we're starting to hit on here too, which is a lot of romance subgenres. So did we talk about romance fantasy?
Well, kind of when we talked about Iron, whatever.
Yeah, Fourth Wing.
Fourth Wing.
Yeah. And Iron is the sequel.
It is
Iron,
okay, good.
Iron something. Now I'm blanking.
Thing, right.
Yeah. But I read Fourth Wing. That's why I remember that one. Yeah, there's also a bunch of other like subgenres of romance that are like targeting niches. I think that's a meta thing that's coming out of this. Maybe. Too. That's
I
really
mean, I think that always has been a thing, and it makes sense that there would be now that there's this women empowerment thing in the singlehood and and then women just apparently being like, I'm reading smut all day, every day. People, step back.
Yeah, I think smut is being elevated.
Hot damn, let's go.
And maybe
it's Oliver Kindle.
I don't know if it needs a new word or if you're just going to, you know, empower the word smut so it's no longer derogatory. But yeah, I feel like that's a thing on the way.
Maybe, the thing.
Interesting.
That's very fun.
So brands often plaster their name, right? When you're a clothing brand, it's often like, I'm going to have the, you know, it says Ralph Lauren or a big horse or, you know, whatever. There's a logo. There's the LV for Louis Vuitton, right? That's all recognizable. There are some brands like Bottega Veneta that don't do that, but it's almost more in opposition to the fact that everyone does it, that their brand is not to have the logo.
Right.
But the Wall Street Journal says texture is becoming the next status symbol. So that some brands are moving away from having a brand like a logo or their name on the clothes to a texture that is a significant indicator that it's that brand.
Hmm.
The one I could think of is the what was the bag? I want to call it the Jenny bag. The puffy bag.
The puffy bag.
Yeah, the puffy bag, which you instantly recognize. You're like, oh, that's the puffy bag, right? There's a mohair line from MaleneBurger.com where they make skirts and shirts and tops and everything out of this really like strandy mohair so that you immediately recognize, that must be a MaleneBurger because look how it's got the strandy mohair.
It's not super hairy.
It's super hairy, exactly. Or this one from 4S Designs that just weaved the wool into a pattern. So it's kind of a logo, but it's actually just the pattern of the wool, which is a little more like Louis Vuitton, I guess, with the LV, the interlocking
right,
LVs.
Totally. I like that, though.
But it's not an actual L or, you know, it's not an actual logo. It's just
an actual texture.
Yeah. And that feels a little like, what's the one that has umbrellas and coats and... It's got
Burberry.
Burberry. Thank you. Yeah.
Right. Where it's a classic, again, design.
Yeah.
But if that's a design thing, this is actually a physical choice.
Yeah, right.
I mean, there's
right.
hair coming off of those.
Yeah. And the wool one is woven in the wool. It's not just printed on
it. That's a good one.
Yeah.
I like that. And it got that Wall Street Journal A-head treatment. So, you know, it's
Yeah, exactly. That's where I saw it. But they had enough different examples of it that I'm like, okay, they're definitely also identifying a thing, not just creating a thing out of nothing.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Out of whole cloth, if you will.
Out of whole mohair.
Whole hair.
using a texture instead of a logo for brands, it's a thing.
Oh, I really like that one. I think that's very cool. Yes, Ron Reed, I'm definitely shopping. No, I mean, it sort of makes a lot of sense. It feels like there's just been a little bit of a step change in materials usage.
Yeah.
Like the puffy this and we were talking about the really, really crazy soft stuff. And I don't know what's happened in material science, but maybe it's become cheaper and easier to
make
to
these different things.
Manufacture hairy shirts.
Right. That sounds true. I don't know if it is or not.
Yeah, I have no idea.
But it sure
should have been in that Wall Street Journal.
Fits article. A fact. Yeah.
That's journalism. Well, speaking of really cute, hairy things, again, something I did not think was a real thing and definitely thought was something that was only on my Instagram feed is apparently a real thing. And that's micro cows,
like milk,
small
cows,
like
cows that give milk and
no, just having like little tiny cows.
You mean the animal?
Oh yeah. I mean, cows.
Yeah.
I mean, moo moo.
Yeah. Like animals that go moo, but small.
Yeah. Micro cows. And there's one, I think it's called like a Scottish Highland cow. And it's got like its
like
hair
a
comes
Shetland
over.
Cow.
It's like the Shetland cow. And it like, it always has hair coming over one eye and it's just super freaking cute. And just people are out here getting mini cows.
It's a rape.
And so having them like live in the house and
pocket cows,
putting them all over. Yeah. Pocket cows, putting them all over Instagram. just micro cows. People just can't get enough of their little cows. And then I found an Instagram video where this woman's just like,
don't get a cow.
I mean, she's like, if you know a white woman these days of a certain age, she's trying to bring home a micro cow and that should not live in the house. But I was like, wait, there's a backlash.
There's already, it's a thing. Yeah, it's definitely a thing if there's already a backlash against micro cows. They don't even take up that much room.
But also,
my sister has cows or had cows. And full size cows, mind you.
Yeah.
They're a lot to take care of.
For sure.
I imagine just making them smaller wouldn't really make them that much easier to take care of.
No, probably not.
Maybe there's less poop.
But I mean, how has something become enough of a thing that you have to make the thing buzzkill video?
You're right. I know.
Like, they're out here milkshaking micro cows.
Get it?
Ew. It's how big a deal. Micro cows are like, people are, that the whole
how
pandemic
big are, how big are
situation
they?
Got really out of hand. They're like tiny pony size. I mean, big, way bigger than
they're not like hand size.
No. They're big.
Yeah.
I mean, they're still.
Yeah. You're not going to have one in your bed.
200 pounds or whatever. Yeah. But I think people are trying to do that. I mean, seriously, whatever happened with the pandemic and pets, and maybe it's just like because that content really gets rewarded, people have gone a little nuts with the animals. Thank God, because it's my favorite thing to consume on the internet.
Well, in India, you know, they always drink whiskey with their reverse harem of micro cows while wearing their mohair.
The micro cows don't like it when you wear the mohair because they think you're one of them.
Well, they like it too much. Yeah, you don't want that kind of attention.
You don't want that smoke. Exactly. Other reasons not to get a micro cow.
My gosh. Also, every once in a while, we like to circle back and check in on a thing. Interestingly, I was in the Container Store with my friend Lamar and my wife Eileen, and they were talking about the Stanley stuff. And I was like, oh, you guys obviously don't listen to our show. It's a thing. You already know about all the Stanley stuff. And then we went to the hydro flasks, and I was like, also a thing. And they're like, ha, 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 yeah. I'm like, no, seriously, also a thing. By the way, within 24 hours, Lamar had bought a hydro flask.
Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, but he did the wrong one. That's so 1 year ago.
Yeah. I don't know. Did he?
No. I mean, hydro flask, I would argue, paved the way for Stanley to do their cool redesign.
But they were aware of the Stanley thing. I sent them this thing that we're circling back to after you brought it to me and Rich's attention, and they were stunned.
Oh, my God. So there was a post on Instagram. Now, I would like you to know that Stanley is my life. As the parent of a Gen Z / Gen Alpha, who also has a Gen Z girlfriend who didn't have a Stanley and then got one, and then she got two, and then she lost one, and then his broke, and then we've been emailing them, and then we had to get a new one.
Stan
and then
love.
There was a whole thing about which color. It was a total standal. And all I talk about is Stanley. I got Stanleys for my dad and my stepmom to be like, be in the cult at
Great
Christmas.
Gift, yeah.
And then I saw this Instagram post from Little Jupiter that was just screenshots of Stanleys on sale. Because what has happened, we talked about this. We already did a circle back on special edition and special issue ones and how there were like the Valentine's Day ones at Starbucks that sold out immediately.
Yeah, right.
That are now, and then there was footage of a Target release where people were just beating each other up like Black Friday of yore. And now they're being sold online for like $1,000.
Wow. Stanley Flow State Quencher 30-ounce Tubbler Camellia. Lowest ask, $1,000.
This is where we are. That was, I mean, Lil Jupiter rarely comments on the absurdity of the kind of pop media stuff that he posts. And even Lil Jupiter was like, this is how we're starting 2024? $1,000 pink Stanley mugs? What is happening?
That's the asking price, the lowest asking price. How many do you think they sold?
I mean, maybe like a lot. And the chat is pointing out that there was the viral video of the Stanley that still had ice in it. I mean, you know, they've really.
That's what Lamar and Eileen had saw was that viral video.
Yeah, the Stanley thing just goes on. And in fact, we even I'm glad that I saw that post just in time for the email. feedback@itsathing.me that we got from Matt Bat on those cups saying, I have no idea what or why pink Stanley cups are a thing, but apparently they are. Yesterday, my wife got one for her birthday, and the giver apologized that it wasn't pink.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Now today, my Facebook feed is full of Pink Stanley memes.
Yeah. So that's somebody probably on TikTok seeing it, maybe on Facebook, though, or Instagram, and being like, oh, I bought this before I saw this.
Which, you know, had it been a pink one, you couldn't then you have to tackle your wife, take it away, and put it on eBay immediately.
That's, yeah.
Sorry, honey.
That is great. Scott on a Threads thing said, I keep seeing a trend on Threads and I cannot block these people fast enough. The trend is repeating the same sentence 5, 6, or 7 times. I hope this is not a thing, but based on the frequency I am seeing it, I fear that it is. Scott, people repeating things on Threads for engagement is a thing. Let me say it again. People repeating things for engagement on Threads is a thing. People repeating things on Threads for engagement is a thing. Molly?
People repeating things on Threads for engagement is a thing.
People repeating things on Threads for engagement is a thing, Scott. I'm sorry. But that's what they're doing. Yeah. That
they are?
Because it makes people mad. Because you say the thing that's slightly controversial, but you say it enough times that it, even if somebody has a natural aversion to responding because you posted it 12 times, like, why did you have to post it 12 times? Boom, engagement.
Oh, God, I hate the internet. I'm sticking with Pink Stanley's and smut.
Yeah. Pink Stanley. Oh, Pink Stanley smut.
Pink Stanley smut.
Ooh. It probably exists. I'm not going to claim.
Why? Hashtag why choose just one Stanley? Yes. Get them in every color. Nick writes in on a meme thing. Hi, Molly, Tom, and Rich. I feel like I've noticed a big uptick in memes and reels and TikToks where someone says, we're insert thing here, followed by something related. That's funny. I almost made this one of my things today, but I felt maybe it had peaked. An example was from IFL Science posting, we're science lovers. We never miss an opportunity to say correlation isn't causation. Funny one. I've seen this for other stereotypes also. Is this a thing? And did you already say something about this? It's a thing. We're Denver guys. Of course we're going to drive our Subaru to pick you up on the date with a puffy vest. We're Gen X. Of course we have never known the touch of a mother's love. I don't know.
Yep, that tracks. We're CES attendees. Of course our feet hurt.
Right. We're CES attendees. Of course, we're wearing 3 badges and we're crying.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Huge thing.
That's a good one. That's a good one. Thank you, Nick. James the Trucker with a confirmation. Hey there, THDs. I'm in a semi-unique position to confirm Spanish language content and confirm it's regional. I'm a truck driver, and a lot of the ad buys on podcasts track location. I get all sorts of weird regional ads on podcasts, and when I'm in Texas or the Southwest in general, I've gotten a few Spanish ads. My favorites, though, are the Wisconsin-Minnesota ones, especially when I'm a few days down the road, and all of a sudden, I'm getting a random don't you know accent seemingly out of the blue. Yeah, I've had that happen international trips too, where I'm like back home catching up, and then suddenly the podcast ad is in French,
right?
Or it's an Australian accent, or like, yeah.
Skip from strangely cold Tallahassee has got some things. Is climate change, Skip? Hi, Molly, Rich, and Tom. Alphabetically, I think that hockey romances are a thing this year. They came to the forefront when book talkers were getting a little too creepy about a hockey player on the Seattle Krakens, so much so that his wife reacted publicly. So I guess this means that people are finding hockey players way too hot in public, which okay. would be a new development. And I'm surprised you're not up on this, Mr. Merritt. And then he says, I have one for you as well. The phrase Susi Baka keeps coming up in Minecraft streaming videos that my daughter watches. It's just what it sounds like, sussy from suspicious, and baka from the Japanese for fool or stupid, so sussy baka. I thought for the longest time she was making this up until I heard other kids at her school using it. Is it just a Minecraft thing, or is it going farther than that? Love the show. Y'all keep me in the loop for all the weird changes in pop culture that this exennial raising an alpha child has to keep up with.
Oh, sussy baka.
Sussy baka.
Alpha, our first alpha child thing.
Oh, it is our That's first exciting. Alpha child thing. This is huge.
Yes. Gen Z, you're old.
Sussy baka.
You're now old as of today. Done. Welcome. Welcome
Sorry,
to the club.
My child, you're out of the loop. Unless you're rocking
You're a little sussy
baka. He's over there like talking about cap. Bow ring.
Cap. Nobody says cap anymore.
Nobody says cap sussy anymore. Baka. It's all sussy baka. That is so fun to say.
Oh, that is fun to say.
I can't stop.
Also, hockey romances are book. There's a book trend of hockey romances.
What?
That was Skip included that in the email, but you know, we kind of gets overshadowed by the public backlash.
Book talkers, right?
Yeah.
Whoa, mm-hmm. Smut.
It's having a
It's the hot genre of 2024.
It's
hot damn.
And then Sarah in San Francisco on a new TikTok. Hi, Molly, Tom, and Rich. Apologies if you already mentioned this and I missed it, but North Sea TikTok is such a thing. Each video shows terrifying huge ocean waves with the same ominous song, which now lives in my head rent-free. I hate these videos. I skip them immediately, but they just kept popping up anyway. And then my feed started filling up with videos about people desperately trying to get off North Sea TikTok. To be honest, I'm not even 100% sure where the North Sea is, aside from, you know, the North. But after seeing these videos, I will never, ever go there. Thank you very much. Thanks for the awesome pod.
Oh, that's incredible.
That's so good. That's so good.
They have not made it to my feed yet, but I love this.
Beware. They may at any moment. I feel like that's an algorithm glitch that started sending the wrong people North Sea. Because then it reacted with like, there's a lot of other people like you that want to get off North Sea TikTok.
And then that became its own hilarious
And then that
thing.
Becomes its own thing in addition. Oh, so good,
wait,
Sarah.
Thank
you.
Wait till the algorithms start making independent AGI decisions.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Good times. Good times, everybody. The good times continue in 2024, our 10th season of It's a Thing, thanks to you, those of you who support us at patreon.com/itsathing. And those of you who support us at the shout out level also get to be content.
Indeed. Indeed. We don't settle for just saying your name, putting it on a website. No. Rich, our producer, weaves the shout out names into a story, into a world, into an homage, sometimes all three at once.
Often all three at once. It's incredible. And in fact, I would argue that this week's shout outs are really all three. They are based on Paul Thurrott's super site for Windows. Hold on. Your name is on top of it.
Preview.
Windows preview of Windows Media Center's PCs. Do you remember the Media Center PCs?
Super site for Windows was Paul's old site. Right. Now he runs Thurrott.com. Which makes people think he writes all the articles, but he doesn't. He has a whole team. And Windows Media Center PCs, remember?
Oh, yeah.
We saw so many of them at CES back in the day.
They were like proto Roku PCs.
Yeah.
Like the idea was that they would become this hub.
Right.
The way that the Apple devices kind of had or have, that they would be like a version of Windows that gave you all your music and your streaming in this really easy, seamless way, because Windows is awesome at that.
You get all the benefits of a Windows PC with media on your television.
Yay.
I actually was kind of a big fan of them at the time because it was before Roku. It was before Apple TV.
They
I was like,
terrible.
This is great. This is a great idea. It's so much better than Media Tank and all these other futzy things. So, yeah.
Also, just even looking ahead at our shout outs, making me realize how old we are.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh, yes.
Oh yeah. During the Consumer Eric Duncan Show, CEDS, in early January 2002,
ouch,
Mike Akins unveiled two technologies, codenamed Benjamin Forrest and Morris Jones, designed to extend the reach of Kevin Sill from Valor Trucks into the far larger and more lucrative Louis Saint-Amour. The plan, launched through the company's E. Joe Hood division, aims to leverage the power and intelligence of A.J. Venturella while offering simplicity and convenience for A.B. Puppy.
Currently, Kevin Sill is powerful but limited to specific Lee prices. As we move toward a more connected world where digital Jake Woods experience such as music, photos, and Laura Abel are used more and more, with Brian G. John Farcaro, it makes sense to bring Gabriel Cohen into other areas of James C. Smith.
It just
makes sense, right?
Just makes sense.
That's the way it goes.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Windows Media PCs.
Indeed. Ah, oh, brings back memories.
It does. There is nothing like CES to remind us.
Do you remember Ultra Mobile PCs?
Yeah, Ultra Mobile.
The little Windows that it was Windows embedded, Windows CE, and you held it in your hand.
Oh God, Windows CE. They all look like little Nintendo DS devices.
Yeah.
That didn't work.
UMPCs.
Out, laptops.
Indeed.
UMPCs. Oh, God. Oh, it hurts. I feel it in my old bones. Thank you so much for listening to all the years of Buzz Out Loud and also It's a Thing. You can become a member of It's a Thing and help support the show and keep us on the air. You will also get to join your fellow fans in the Discord live when we record each week. You'll get an ad-free RSS feed and our undying gratitude. Patreon.com/It's a Thing.
You can also support the show if you want to shop for some things through our affiliate links. Look for them in the show notes. And we also collected them all at a page, itsathing.me/shop. And once again, we love getting your things. Your things are so good. Some of the best things we get. So email us at feedback@itsathing.me.
See you next week. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, buddy. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Give it to me.
Give it to me.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.